Interesting. It was last week. I couldn't for the life of me. Remember, I was up here fiddling with the recorder and couldn't get it going and couldn't get it going. And Carol was just like afterwards, because she downloads the message and puts it on the internet. And I go, you know, the message isn't there. Why? It wasn't working. Why wasn't it working? I don't know. The batteries work. Everything else checks out. It just wouldn't work. And so I picked it up and I looked at it again and hit the on button and it came right on. So, I mean, it's back, it's going, but praise God, that message was just for us here in the room that day. And so what a great message that was for us to be living sacrifices. Amen? Amen. So, it's all about love. That's what I entitled this message. And for those of you who know me, you know, I'm very politically attuned and, you know, and I'm not quiet about my political convictions. And you know, it's so funny, and Pastor Dave knows this, and what a great joke that you left for me this morning. And so I'll won't detract from service by just saying, hey, read that from what Pastor Dave has in his pocket. But really, it's all about love. Listening to the authorities, listening to the government, it's all about love. And, you know, kind of flashback to Matthew chapter 22, where it says, one of them, an expert of the Torah, tested him, Yeshua, by asking, Rabbi, what's the greatest commandment in the Torah? And Yeshua said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your resources. And the second is like it. You must love your neighbor as yourself. And he continues by saying, all the Torah and the prophets depend upon these two commandments. So everything in the Scripture depends on love. Us loving God and us loving others. And with that in mind, Paul, you know, uses his focus here, his lens, to look at the Scripture and how we're to love. And it starts with those governing authorities in Romans chapter 13. And that's a tough one, because I'm sitting here going, wow, there's so many things that are constitutionally illegal that the current government is doing. So many things. And the list keeps on getting longer and longer and longer and longer. But you know what? What does God's Word say? Should we listen to this government? Well, yeah, He's put them in authority over us. A lot of believers believe that we have this current administration out of judgment for how wishy-washy the body of believers has become. Yeah. And you know, I have a tendency to say, you know what, I haven't talked to God personally about this one, but I would not be surprised if that was the case. Because if you look at all the commandments that are being violated within places that are called house of worship, people that are overtly living in sin and allowing to be in leadership. Hey, we're all under grace so we can do whatever we want. You know? Here you have two men who were, you know, Mr. and Mr., and they're also pastor and pastor, or rabbi and rabbi. It's scary. And the denomination says, well, we can't offend, so we can't say anything against that. Oh, yeah, we can. Yeah, we can. But it has to be done in love, right? It's not like these groups that go out with the big signs that says, you know, all homosexuals are going to hell. You know, I say to that, where's your other sign that says all liars are going to hell? How about all thieves are going to hell? All adulterers are going to hell? All idol worshippers are going to hell? You know, if you're going to call out one sin, why don't you call out all of them? Right? Yeah, so because that's not love when we focus on going and bashing a specific group. And so here we have thing about politics. So, does this mean that I have to do everything that the government says I have to do? You're going to be surprised. Yes, dot, 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 to the point it doesn't violate what is written in the Torah. Okay? So, if the government says I got to pay taxes, whose money is it? It's actually God's money, right? So we're just giving God's money to them. Yeah. Do I like it? No. No, I don't. But you know what? It's a testimony to the people in authority. It really is. And you know, so we got to get that balance right. So we do what the government says to a point. And that's to the point where the government says that I have to violate what the Torah says. If I have to get up here and teach that, you know, homosexuality is okay, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that because the Torah says that it's not. My response? Do I go out and gay bash and beat up on homosexuals? No. We love them into the kingdom of God. Just like we love liars, just like we love thieves. All of that. And that's the point here. And in fact, a good example of what we're supposed to do, Acts chapter 5. It's interesting, we have some apostles that were standing trial in Acts chapter 5. And verse 27 says, when they brought them back, they made them stand before the council. And the high priest began to question them. And I'll stop right there. You say, high priest? Well, this was in the temple. The high priest during this time period was a political appointee. They were not the God's appointed high priests. So they were standing before these political appointees in Judaism, and they said, we gave you strict orders to not to teach in His name, didn't we? Who's Him? Yeshua. And they said, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. So when it comes to doing what the Torah says and proclaiming the gospel like the Torah says, we must obey God rather than men. If they say that, well, you can't speak about Yeshua Jesus in the public school, yes, I can. I can speak with my actions. And guess what? Freedom of speech allows us to use the words. If a kid comes up and says, you know, in a school and you're a teacher, hey, what's so different about you? Notice something. What is it? And they've asked, well, you know, I believe in Yeshua. And if they say, well, I want to hear more about this, you can continue to speak the truth about the Messiah. Yeah. It's part of our First Amendment right, right? Freedom of speech. And that's also freedom of political speech. So, we are in a country where we can speak these things. But if the government says, hey, you know what? You can no longer tell people about Yeshua. And it does seem to be that the government's kind of going that direction. You know, everybody is praised. Every other religious group is praised. You can be a terrorist and, you know, we can put you on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine to be celebrated and worshipped. Right? But, you know, do you see people like, you know, people that just really love the Lord on the cover of Time magazine? You know, like, what was the guy's name? Walenda, the guy who tightrope or walked across the high wire across the Grand Canyon. That was so awesome. I don't know if you guys watched that or not. That was amazing. And it's just like, to me, it was more than just some guy doing a stunt because he was praying. He was praising God. He was sharing the gospel as millions of people walked. And so what did we do? We started praying with him. Yeah. But you know what? Those people aren't celebrated in this society anymore because of compromise. Well, guess what? If the government says that we've got to be quiet about Yeshua, God's word says no. We're going to obey God rather than men. Yeah. So, and you know, and we talked about the stewardship, about paying the taxes and the tolls. Whose money really is it? It's God's. And that's tough for me. Because I know how wasteful our government is. I know that they're spending money on things like abortion. I have a problem with that. Because God's word says abortion is murder. And we are not supposed to murder. Right? I have a problem with that. But yet God's word says that He's going to provide for us to pay these taxes. Right? He says that? Oh yeah. Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 24, it says, when they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came up to Peter and said, your rabbi pays the temple tax, doesn't he? And he answered, yes. So when Peter went home, Yeshua spoke to him first, saying, what do you think, Simon? For whom do kings on the earth collect tolls and tributes? From their own subjects or from foreigners? When he said, from foreigners, Yeshua said to him, in that case, the subjects are exempt. However, so that we don't offend them, go to the sea and throw in a hook. It's kind of weird. I want you to go fishing and take that first fish that comes up, open its mouth, and you'll find a coin. and take it and give it to them for me and you. So, note here, notice why the taxes are paid. They are paid so we don't offend them. That's why the taxes are paid. So we don't put that offense up there. And guess what? God will provide for your taxes. He provides for everything else, right? I don't know, maybe more of us need to go fishing. Amen? Amen. And then he continues. You know, after this, you know, we talked about all these things about, you know, doing all this stuff and loving these government officials. He goes on to say, do not owe anyone anything except to what? Except to love one another. For the one who loves one another has fulfilled the Torah. It's interesting. I talk to people about debt because I do have times when people come to me and say, hey, Rabbi, I'm going through a really tough time financially. And this is one area where, you know, praise God, those finance classes are paying off. Those accounting classes are paying off. Because we can sit down and we can do a budget. God has gifted me in this area. And, you know, Rabbi Lewis and I have sat down and said, okay, you know, let's, you know, I don't want to nitpick and go through everything that you spend. But, you know, let's kind of paint a broad picture. And the broad picture is really easy. Whatever you make, the first 10% goes to God, no questions asked. Then the rest of it goes to pay bills. And if you've got some left over, you know, provide a little bit for some mad money, because face it, sometimes we need to go out to dinner, sometimes we need to just go buy something, right? But don't spend more than 10% if you've got a lot of debt. And then if you can, beyond that, put 10% in savings. And so people say, well, you know what? What's the best way to stay out of debt? And I say, don't get into debt. But Rabbi, that brand new car is so shiny and pretty. And my car that I'm driving now is so passe. You know, it's... Dude, I drive a boat. Well, you know what? Here's my financial advice. Don't go into debt just because something is shiny or pretty. Yeah, if God wants you to have it, He will make a way for you to own it. Now, I understand, you know, that you know, there's some things in this world that we have to go into debt to purchase. Like if you buy a house, buy a house. And, you know, Crystal and I, for years, we kept on seeing all these people buying houses and these loans that were horrible. They were called interest-only loans. Basically, your mortgage payment was for the interest of your house. And we had people say, hey, you know what? You guys qualify. Just go, you know, go get yourself a big old house. And Crystal and I always believed if God wants us to have a house, we'll have at least a 10% down payment to put on the house. And all these people who did all this stuff, they bought these houses on their interest-only loans and said, you know, it's just going to go up, up, and up, so we're going to add a swimming pool, and we're going to get ATVs, we're going to buy new cars, we're going to get RVs, we're going to do all this crazy stuff. Yeah, it was way too much. And these are like people who claim to know the Messiah. And I'm like, oh, hey, you know what? God's Word says we shouldn't owe people stuff like that. You know, don't give up your house so you can have the latest and greatest dirt motorcycle to go, you know, weekending with your kids. What's more important? Well, you know, it's a credit. Blah, 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 blah. No, don't go into debt for that stuff. Because if God wants you to have it, God will provide for it. Amen? And if I look at the blessings in my house, and I, you know, there's times I just look around and say, hey, God, let's see what you've provided. And where my wife and I received so many blessings is when we didn't have anything. And God says, here, I want to bless you. Here, have a piano. Here, have a keyboard. Here, have a guitar. Here, have this furniture. Here, have this loft bed. Here, have this table. Here, have this. Here, have this that. Here, have this car. It's so neat to see how God does these things. And so, you know, that's just kind of my little side note on the side about finances, my little rabbit trail. And let me encourage you, if you've got some financial debt, guess what? God can get you out of it. He can. You just need to be wise with how you're spending your money. Make sure you're not, you know, I remember a story about somebody who was like, oh, well, you know, we needed to, you know, we don't have enough money to pay our mortgage and we're getting evicted. could you guys come and pray for us that God will provide for our mortgage, and not only our this month's mortgage, but last month's mortgage. And, you know, we've got to notice it. If we don't, you know, give them several thousand dollars, they're going to kick us out of the house in the next, you know, 20 days. So there was prayer. And guess what? God provided the money for them to pay off that debt. And you know what they did with it? They squandered it and didn't pay it, and they lost their house. So God does want us to be good stewards. He's not going to, you know, give us something and then we just go and do whatever. But they squandered it, and they still lost their house. What a horrible, tragic story. But you know what? We know that if we're good stewards, that God is going to provide. Amen? Yeah, He will. And guess what? It's kind of nice to see people who don't have money and all of a sudden they get blessed with something, or God does something neat. They're all of a sudden driving a new vehicle. Hey, what happened? The Lord provided. Amen? And we give Him all the credit and all the glory. So, what do we owe others? Do we owe them money? No, we owe them love. We owe them love. So, how do we pay out love? We're talking about finances. How do we pay out love? Well, I guess God only gets 10% of my love because that's a tithe? No, it doesn't work that way. No, we give Him all of our love, right? And how do we give love to others? Well, what did Yeshua say? All the Torah and the prophets hang on the two commandments. Love the Lord your God with everything you got, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two things. And so, we pay in love by treating others according to the Ten Commandments and according to the Torah. And what a great lesson we had in love from our Torah portion this morning. Hey, if you see your neighbor's donkey wandering around, take care of it till they get back. You know this thing, finders, keepers, losers, weepers? That's from the pit. And actually, that's illegal in this country. I didn't know if you knew that. But if you find something of value and you don't turn it in, it's illegal and you can... Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We're just like, oh. And but with that, God's Word says that if you find something that isn't yours, take care of it like it was until the owner comes back for it. That's love. You know, hey, I've got this lost sheep out there. He's been gone for months. And hey, look, there's my sheep. Yeah, you know, he was lost and we found him, so we took him in and we fed him and everything. We took care of him and you know, let him play with the other sheep, and he had a good time and had lots of fun out there. But here's your sheep back. Not, oh, well, yeah, your sheep came and I had to feed them, you know, 500 shekels worth of feed while you were not around. No. Love says, hey, we took care of it. We took care of your blessing for you. Amen? Because every good and perfect gift comes where? Comes from God. And so that's love. And note, love doesn't do something that will harm someone else. And it's interesting that I put in my notes, sometimes this includes tough love. and that's something that I know that you're praying about. Yeah, tough love. Because when do we say no more? Because we want to help people, right? I know that Pastor Dave and I, there are many times we've had people just like, oh, you know, we need help. Okay, here you go. What do you need? Here, we need help. Here you go. What do you need? And now it's just like they show up with the pitchforks and start poking us going, we demand our help now. What? That's not love. Well, you know, I'll help you on occasion, but if you're constantly knocking at my door saying, feed me. In fact, I had somebody show up at my house one time at 3 in the morning. They were hungover. And they've been out partying, and they're like, oh, well, you're clergy, you owe me breakfast, feed me now. And was banging on my door. It was crazy. It was ridiculous. And you know what? That's not right. That is not right. No, it wasn't Richard. No, he at least waits till 4. But yeah. So love doesn't do something that will harm somebody else, and sometimes this includes tough love, where the person starts to depend upon you for the handout and depend upon you for the thing when really God's trying to get their attention so they will depend upon Him. Right? And that's a hard one to do, but it works. But you know what? There's also another thing that we have a problem with. And I was talking this morning a little bit about this with the worship team. But isn't it sometimes hard to love people who have offended us? That's a hard one. And that, you know, I was sharing with them this morning that, you know, I grew up in an environment of offense. Or, you know, this week I was just reminded of, I was definitely too young for my class. I was the runt of the litter anyhow. I was a small guy. You know, all this big stuff on me, I was a late bloomer. This didn't happen until my 30s. Yeah, I was a skinny little rail. I was like 127 pounds, you know, all the way through through a lot of college. And then I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm getting fat. I got to 155 pounds. Yeah, I was still a skinny little rail. And so, but with that, and also my parents started me in kindergarten when I was 4 years old. And so they sent me to a school that they thought was a safe environment, you know, a school that teaches the scripture. But what the administrators of the school didn't tell my parents is that, you know, that their ministry was really to those who have been kicked out of other schools. And if they've got the money to pay, we'll take them. So what happened? I was bullied. I was bullied. From fifth grade until the middle of my junior year, I was bullied. I was beat up upon. And, you know, and even people who supposedly represented God, these shepherds of this congregation that were with the fellowship that was associated with the school, you know, I'd go into their office and it's just like, oh, okay, so these three guys were holding you up against a wall and this guy got ready to hit you and you need him in the private parts? You're getting a spanking for that, Jim. You guys, you can go away. You're okay. You're fine. And these guys had roughed me up and roughed me up and roughed me up. This wasn't like a one-time occurrence. And I got in trouble for that. And my parents were really upset about that. And so, but with that, I kind of was thinking back about the stuff, how it's so easy to carry that offense and be angry at these people, be angry at these administrators, angry at these teachers, angry at the people who were beating me up. Yeah, that's horrible, really horrible. And then I had to stop, and this morning as I was praying, and I was reading a psalm this morning that talked about our enemies and how their words are lies and let their just, you know, let judgment come upon them and all that. And really, what was the problem? The problem was these people were listening to things that were not of God, right? And what a great reminder that we need to, like Yeshua, hate the sin, but love the sinner, right? So me, that's my confession. That's one that I've struggled with. And even in, and even here in our experiences, we've had people that have just, you know, we've opened up our hearts to them and everything and just shared with them and, poured out into them. And how do they respond? They stabbed us in the back. They told a bunch of lies about us. All sorts of stuff. And it's really easy for us to say, you know what? I don't want to ever see that person again. I don't care if that person comes back again. Or when it gets compounded and worse, I can't forgive that person. Ouch, right? Because when the Lord's Prayer says, you know, forgive us our sins as we've forgiven those who have sinned against us. We have to forgive. And it starts with the recognition that many times people respond in ways because they're influenced by things that are not of God. And that's what's causing their behavior. That's what's causing the behavior. So is it easy to love everybody? I'm not going to lie to you and say, oh yeah, sure. It's going to be the easiest thing you ever done. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know, God's Word says we don't have to, you know, doesn't say we need to like our neighbor as ourselves. But we do have to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so I'm going to ask Richard and David would come forward and grab. We've got some little sheets of paper here. And this is the challenge. I want you to ask yourself, who is the most difficult person in your life to love? Here, I need one of those too. Actually, I probably need a stack, but... thanks. And what I want you to do is take these and to notice that in the heart there, I want you to write the name of that one person that you are really having a hard time loving right now. You might have a list. It's okay to write two or three names if you need to. I know some of you are going, only one? Yeah, some of you have more. And you know what? And this is not something for, you know, we're not going to have you pass your notes around to say, oh, who don't you love? You know, oh, Rabbi Woodcock? Yeah, me too. But with that, once you've written the name, I just kind of want you to fold that piece of paper in half because this is a private thing.